This morning's first reading is from Acts chapter 3, beginning at verse 11. While the lame man who was now healed clung to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the portico called Solomon's, astounded. And when Peter saw it, he addressed the people, "Men of Israel, why do you wonder at this? Or why do you stare at us as though by our own power or piety we have made him walk? The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus Christ, whom you delivered over and denied in the presence of Pilate when he had decided to release him. But you denied the Holy and Righteous One and asked for a murderer to be granted to you. And you killed the author of life, whom God raised from the dead. To this we are witnesses. And his name, by faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know, and the faith that is through Jesus has given this man perfect health in the presence of all. And now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did also your rulers. But what God foretold by the mouth of all the prophets, that his Christ would suffer, he thus fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and turn again, that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send the Christ appointed for you, Jesus, whom heaven must receive until the time for restoring all things about which God spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets long ago. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Today's epistle reading is from 1 John chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. Everyone who makes a practice of sinning also practices lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. You know that he appeared to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. No one who abides in him keeps on sinning. No one who keeps on sinning has either seen him or known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. Whoever practices righteousness is righteous, as he is righteous. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Please stand now for the Alleluia in verse. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 24th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. And as they were talking about these things, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace to you." But they were startled and frightened and thought they saw a spirit. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled, and why do doubts arise in your hearts? See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still disbelieved for joy and were marveling, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" And they gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it before them. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, "Thus it is written, that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You know, there are special days, right, in our lives. We might remember anniversaries, first time we did such and such, maybe our first date, our graduation. But, you know, birthdays are something that are really special to us. And there was this young boy once who received a brand new toy starship as his gift for his birthday. And it was, in his mind, the most glorious of gifts, the flagship of that particular line of toys, with all the best characters within it and lots of new and innovative features. And the boy was ecstatic. He couldn't wait to open his new toy and to build it and to begin to explore the galaxies around. But then reality hit home. His birthday that year, it fell on a school day. And you know, his parents' rule was is that he could open his gifts before school, but then he had to wait till he returned home in order to begin playing with them. He would just have to wait. So the boy got dressed, readied, and traveled off to school. And while at school, his mind kept, well, drifting away from what the teacher was saying and drifting back to that new toy starship that was waiting for him at home. He imagined all the fun he was going to have when finally he would get home and could play with it. But that was just it. There was still a whole day's worth of school to sit through before he could go home and play. Unless, and you could almost see the wheels turning in his brain, he hatched a plan. There was one way to speed up this process. He could leave school early and make it home before the end of the day and begin playing with his new toy earlier. All he'd have to do was tell his teacher just a wee little lie that he was sick. So that's what he did. The boy pretended to be sick. His mother was called, and she came and got him and brought him home from school. I tell that story and ask that you would also consider today this gospel text from Luke 24. The resurrected Jesus interrupted a gathering of his disciples as they were assembled to discuss the sightings that had occurred that day. Peter had seen Jesus and he was amazed. Two disciples walking to Emmaus had seen Jesus and they marveled. And now all of a sudden, they all had seen Jesus because he was standing right there in front of them. And Jesus stood before his disciples and we were told that they disbelieved for joy. Now, it's easy for us to imagine and relate to this joy. If any one of us suddenly saw a deceased loved one back from the dead, we'd also experience disbelief and joy. We would be so glad because the one who had been lost to us had been regained. But what's more difficult to grasp is where repentance has its place according to this joy. As we proceed a little further in our text today, we hear Jesus teach his disciples that this repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations. And in addition, all the other passages of the scripture suggest a connection between repentance and joy today. In our Acts reading, Peter preaches at the temple gate and the worshipers assembled there that they should repent and turn back, that your sins may be blotted out, and that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. In John's epistle, he reminds Christians that Christ appeared and that he appeared to take away the sins. And as those who abide in him, you and I, we should put away sin and practice righteousness. Now, these themes are certainly in line with repentance. But our introit that we had today talks about joy that comes in the morning. And the psalm talks about the abundance of joy that's more than when grain and wine abound. And our fathers of faith, as they planned these readings for today, they would have us place two things side by side: repentance and joy. Indeed, Jesus himself appeared to the disciples in our text and introduced to them an experience of joy and the need to teach and talk about repentance. Now let me go back to that story that I started with. That boy with the toy starship. Remember, he's back home now with his mother after telling that little fib, right? That he was sick. And she brought him up to his room and tucked him into bed so that he'd rest and feel better. And no sooner was he in bed than he began to ask his mother about getting out that new toy. She suddenly saw through his deception and confronted him. And the boy, yeah, he was caught in his lie. And he was caught in his sin. And that's never a pleasant or, you know, a good place for any of us to be. The boy felt that tinge of panic and guilt, and he was faced with a dilemma. Should he own up to his sin or continue to lie and cover his tracks? His instinct, influenced by his old Adam, told him to lie. So he decided to follow his instinct. He told his mom he was truly sick. She took his word for it and left him in the room, alone with his guilty conscience. You see, one thing worse than repentance is trying to live with the guilt of your conscience. It introduces fear into our lives. It makes us irritable or angry. You can feel the need to justify yourself. A guilty conscience can make you absolutely miserable. It can throw your life into turmoil. A guilty conscience is something that we don't like. In fact, many people, when they get into this place, it's a downward spiral. One lie after another, and they get more miserable and more miserable until they seem to think that there's no way out. And you know, initial sin and temptation can cause us to compromise ourselves and set aside what we know what is right. But once the sin's been committed, we have to live with it. There's a fear that manipulates us and controls us and pushes us into further and further sin. We know that downward spiral only all too well. Your life, which had been nice and well-ordered, and a well-ordered conscience in your mind, well-ordered relationships around you, all are tainted and turned upside down. You see, this little boy didn't realize what the effect and consequence would be for his little lie. And he was caught up. So let us go now back to our readings for today. Jesus stood before his bewildered disciples as they were hiding and discussing the fact that apparently he was alive. And he told them that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations. And the disciples at that moment were overjoyed. Jesus was alive. He stood before them, face to face, toe to toe. He even ate a meal with them, if you can count broiled fish, that. And he received joy. They did, because they were all with Jesus. It was Jesus' desire that they share the good news of his victory, his resurrection, to the whole world, so that the whole world could have joy. And you and I, we know that there is joy in those who believe and hear the proclamation of repentance and forgiveness. Now, we go back to that little boy. That little boy stewed in his room, and there his feelings of guilt and fear and regret just spiraled and got more and more. He knew that he had lied to his teacher, that he had lied to his mother, and he wanted to make it right, but he was so afraid. He was ashamed of what he'd done and afraid of having his sin found out. But the boy knew in his heart what was right. He remembered the lessons he'd learned from his mother and his father about saying you're sorry when you've done something wrong. And so he took heart. He took courage. He climbed out of his bed, throwing off the blankets. He opened the door to his bedroom. Down the stairs he went to see his mother. And he told her what he had done. He said, I am terrified. He was shaking as he talked to his mother. But once that sin was off of his chest, he was so relieved. It was even more wonderful when his mother embraced him and received forgiveness from her. He knew what he'd done was wrong. He might even have consequences, but he knew forgiveness. He knew the warm embrace of his mother and knew that no matter what, it was going to be okay. Now, just imagine now for you and I, how much greater is the joy when we discover that for the sake and of the death and resurrection of Jesus, our sin against God has been forgiven. Yes, we all have our lovely spaceships in our lives. Things that we covet. Things that we want to do that we put ahead of God. But just know the joy that is ours in knowing that through repenting of our sin, our sins of idolatry, of coveting, and when we have that repentance, to know the joy that is ours. See, someone repenting. You see? And forgiveness is the next thing. So may you and I know even better that God spared no expense to pay the debt for our sins. He sent his son Jesus to die on the cross in judgment for us. He paid the penalty that we owed through the sacrifice of his own body and blood on the cross. And God, his Father, accepted that sacrifice. It is enough. It is sufficient. There's no more payment needed to be made. Jesus, who was dead, is alive because all your sin has been accounted for. So may you and I today remember that in our downward spirals of sin, our regrets, our grievances, our griefs, to know that there is one who has conquered and who has paid the price, no matter how inky black our sin is. And know that when we repent of it, Jesus is there. Jesus is there saying, I'm here, I am alive, I have paid the price of your sin, and heaven is now your home with me. You see, you and I, we have been saved. We have been forgiven. And so the resurrection of Jesus is our joy. He who was dead is alive. I was waiting for an amen there. I know. I don't have to ask for it all the time. But, you know, when we are in joy, and we are repenting of our sins, and when we know that he has forgiven us, there is great joy. A burden has been lifted. We talked about in the catechism about confession, confessing your sins, and then receiving that sweet forgiveness that only God can provide. So may you and I repent of our sins before one another, to give forgiveness freely as we have been forgiven, to live in the joy of restored relationships with one another. And so Jesus has died, but he now lives. May we have that joy of Easter morning every single day. You know, there may be trials at nights and terrors, but joy does come in the morning. I have to imagine that psalmist, when they wrote that verse, was really picturing the blown-out rock of the grave and knowing that the Savior lives, that he reigns from east to west to north to south, that he is our resurrected King. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guide our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.